Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. I am your host, Isaiah Marshall. And today we have a front runner joining us, my brother, Jacob Phillips. This is part one of a two-part discussion that I had with Jacob Phillips. In this episode, we talk about faith, specifically how our faith in Jesus influences everything that we do. We talk about family and parenthood. Hey, what type of inheritance would you like to leave for your children? And we talk about his journey to becoming a voice actor. Here is Front Runner, episode 10. Praise the Lord. My name is Isaiah Marshall, and you are listening to Front Runner, my podcast, where I will be interviewing friends who are front runners, the underdogs who dare to take risks, who bet on themselves, who run their own race, who run to win. They lead their lives from the front, and as they sang in track and field, they leave it all on the track. Let's go. Praise the Lord. My name is Isaiah Marshall. I'm your host. Welcome to the Front Runner Podcast. And today we have a very special guest, a very powerful creative, Jacob Phillips. Welcome.
Thank you, Isaiah. It's good to be here.
Now, I know you and I, we go back, you know, Mississippi State, you know, student athletes at MSU. And
that's right.
And then, and so we go back a long time, but I know I want to give you an opportunity because the listeners may not know who you are. So tell us about your journey and who you are. And you can kind of lead into what you do as we talk about, you know, your career.
Good deal. Well, I am, you know, who I am is, you know, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord, you know,
yes, sir.
He saved me from my sins. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Just like he did you. We got
the same dad. Yes,
and,
sir.
And I'm thankful for it. And I'm also a husband, father, and then I'm a military veteran like yourself. And then as far as my vocation, I'm a voice actor. So I think that's a very small part of who I am, just as anyone is. I think there's to most people there's a lot more to them than how they collect a paycheck, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But that is a big part of who I am as far as you know, how I provide for my family and how the Lord's allowed me to provide for my family, because I do love it. I really enjoy it, and anybody that has wanted to get into it or is interested in it, I love helping people. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, that's who I am. And that's what I do.
You know, the interesting thing is most people, they probably listen to audio books and, you know, when we watch TV, you see the commercials, you hear the voices, but we probably don't think much of it, but there's people behind those voices. And how did you kind of come to this, you know, this vocation, as a voice actor? Like, did you just kind of, it just kind of find you, or did you find it, or did somebody kind of help you in that? Or?
I would say a little bit of both, or all three. You know, a lot of people, you know, had said like, oh, your voice is calming. It relaxes me. Like when I used to be on the radio, my guys would say in the Army, like, you never sound freaked out, and we appreciate that. You know, it sounds like everything is under control. Think of like Morgan Freeman, who I'm not comparing myself to, but when he could say almost anything, and it sounds like grandpa saying, hey, it's going to be okay.
You know what I mean?
It's like, he has that quality about him. And so I had heard that. But I didn't really ever, that wasn't enough to pursue it. When my father, who loved the Lord and raised me up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's a great man. He passed away in 2013. And my daughter was born 2 months later. So he never got to meet her, my first child. And I have one, we have home videos and stuff, but I have one like MP3 recording of him reading from the book of Joshua. Several verses, you know, now therefore be strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, keep the charge of the Lord thy God. You know, like what a great soundbite to have from your father who's with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
You know, my thinking was I have that one soundbite that I treasure. How about if I start a little YouTube channel and I can just record the Bible or classic literature, poems, you know, just things that I want my kid to hear. And then they'll have a piece of, you know, they'll have a connection with dad if anything ever happens.
Yes, sir.
Or, you know, even if nothing happens, there it is. And then, you know, if the Lord doesn't come back someday, we're, you know, we'll all be gone. And yet the internet kind of is kind of there. So there's always kind of that connection. And so I started with that. I started reading, I think, Psalms, just right at the computer, no mic or anything. And of course, that's not optimal sound quality, I was making content and I was kind of posting them up. And then my little girl had some, I started a little, you know, sound bank for her. And then I started saying, well, maybe if I upgrade my mic, I could get the quality a little better.
Yes,
and then I started listening to other people, how they read. Like, well, how about if I like read along with them and try to see how much more dynamic they are than I am?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, especially Americans, I think we're really monotonous when we read.
Yes, sir.
Like, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
No dynamics.
Naturally kind of monotonous.
Yes, sir.
Whereas the British generally go up to stress a point. The Irish go down to stress a point. Like there's a lot more dynamics. And in American English, we sort of tend to be monotonous. Not everybody, but you know, that's my tendency anyway.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, I said, well, how about if I read along with Alexander Scorby, who has a famous, you can look Alexander Scorby on YouTube, and he reads the King James Bible, and he's great.
Yes, sir.
You know, that kind of thing. So I started doing that. And then, you know, so by this time I had a microphone recording software. And then I started saying, well, I could start treating, you know, put pillows and blankets up to get even better sound. And then I started, you know, someone would say, hey, can you help me with this? Because I would usually post these on Facebook or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started getting requests like, you know, if you have this YouTube video I need, what would you charge me to do that?
Wow.
And it sort of grew from there. And I, you know, it had been my prayer, like, Lord, help me just to be able, and I had been working in a tire factory this whole time. Kind of like, I would love to provide for my family in a creative way. And I, you know, I promise to give you any honor and glory I get for it. And all, you know, you get the credit.
Yes, sir.
And, but I'm also glad to just work at this job and provide this way. But you know, this is what I would like, you know, sort of, it says, let your requests be made known unto God.
Yes, sir.
It wasn't a demand. Yes, I asked him.
Right. It's like, Lord, this is what I would love. This is what I desire.
Right. I'm like, Lord, you're blessing my socks off. I got a good job. I got a good income. You know, I get plenty of time with the family. It's not a terrible situation. A lot of people would love to be in my situation, but you know, in the Bible, I think it was Caleb's daughters, I think, or one of his daughters said, you have given me the nether fields, now give me springs of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like dad had willed her this great piece of property in the lowland near the creek. And she was like, could I have the water rights for it too? This is great. Thanks. And so that's kind of like, kind of what I did. Like, Lord, thanks so much. Could I get this? And he was very gracious and said,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Absolutely.
It's like being faithful though, where he had you.
Right.
And what he was doing in your life. I want to go back a bit. You said that you kind of started off just making recordings for your daughter. And it's sort of like this thing how, you know, you had that audio of your dad and it's like, so you could still hear his voice. And so you wanted to do that for your daughter. Like what? So I do, you know, I kind of do something similar. It's similar in nature, but it's not a recording. So what I do for my kids is on their birthday, I write a letter And in this letter, you know, I'll talk about things that happened in the past year. And I'll just talk about, and my hope is that also through this letter, just, you know, kind of impart some wisdom and things that the Lord has been showing me as well. And so it's kind of, you know, not to sound like morbid or anything, but it's like, at the end of the day, we do recognize that, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the Lord may come. We don't know, you know, what will happen to us and different things like that. So it's sort of this thing where, you know, they will have my words if anything happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They will be able to hear. But it's also like when they, you know, as they grow up and they go to high school, they graduate and then they go off to college. I want to create this like chat book and kind of as a going away gift for them so that they can, you know, just go back and they can read and they can just kind of draw from these memories and this well, and hopes that, you know, I'm of course trying to point them to the Lord. And so it's like, they have this thing where they can go back and they can kind of relive these memories and hear from their dad. And so,
I need to do that. You've inspired me. I'm doing that.
He said that wasn't like something that I came up with. Someone told me that. And I'm like, man, that's you know, such a powerful thing, because we think about, you know, we're so present and we should be in raising our kids and you know, raising them and training them up, you know, as scripture says. But I just kind of think about, you know, what can I leave them with that, you know, as they go out, you know, they could still, you know, kind of hold on and to these words and memories and different things like that. So I kind of think in those ways.
You know, in Proverbs, it says a righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Sir.
And I think part of that is, I mean, I think you need to work hard, save your money, buy land, whatever, and have something material to pass along to them. I think that's scriptural. But also, that is not the only thing. I think, you know, the keep the charge of the Lord thy God, that needs to be important to pass, where your grandkids, even if you never met them, like in my dad's case, and yet my little Abigail, who's 8 now, she knows the Lord. Mm. She's trying to walk with him and be well pleasing to him. And I know that my dad would, you know, in a large part, it's the Lord, but large part, that's because of him. He left an inheritance to children's children.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That's great. I love that. Writing a letter. I'm going to do that.
Yes, sir. I would encourage you for sure. Now, so your journey as a voice actor kind of started with you just kind of reading scripture and recording it. And then you posted it.
I will say, rewind 6 or 7 years when I was in the Army. Mm-hmm. So this would have been 2008. I was a platoon leader in a cavalry scout unit.
Yes, sir. And
my platoon sergeant, who was from Montana, I'd been there maybe a week. He said, none of us can understand you. You have to learn to speak English. Mm-hmm. And, you know, being from Mississippi, you just, when everybody kind of talks like that, you know, you just sort of being lazy and everyone knows what you're saying. And then, when you get on a radio, it doesn't matter how articulate you are.
Yes, sir.
That radio makes it harder to understand to begin with. Mm-hmm. But then when you add a thick regional accent that maybe half the guys have a hard time on a good day with anyway, that can, you know, in a stressful situation, that's not mm-hmm. good. When you're saying, what did you say? You know, we're you know, in a pickle here. I need you to talk. Anyway, so 2008, I actually started, not for voiceover reasons, but for clear communication in case, you know, like the Bible says, if the trumpet give an uncertain sound in the day of battle, I forget the rest of it, but that's like not a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't want, you know, in the days when they didn't have radios, they would communicate with pipes or mm-hmm. you know, bagpipes or drums or trumpets. You don't want to, you know, beat some tune and half the guys are like, wait, was that charge or retreat?
You want it to be clear so that they know exactly.
So that was my motivation to begin with, as far as my first step in sort of, and not that I'm ashamed of where I'm from or my accent or anything like that. Nothing like that. It's just, I understand that when you are in other parts of the country, they can't understand you. So right. I think, and being able to enunciate in a way that is sort of able to be received by anyone from any part of the country, and there's not that comprehension speed bump of, oh, he's definitely from the South. It's sort of, they're taking in the information and not thinking about where you're from, they're thinking about what you're saying.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's when I actually started, was 2008.
Wow.
Not for voiceover reasons. And that remains the best coaching tip I've ever gotten. It was just really? Like, learn to talk.
Wow.
And yeah, so that was awesome. Kind of when it started, but I didn't ever actually record anything for, you know, fast forward 6 or 7 years, I got married and had a kid.
Mm. But I mean, it started then. So it's like you were, even though voiceover acting wasn't on your radar, but it seemed like it was like prepping you for that. You know what I mean? It's like,
right.
You know,
right.
You were learning and growing as a communicator. And so now, and then now you're in a position where you use your voice to communicate. And as a voiceover actor, I imagine you have to be able to communicate clearly in a way that message could be received well.
Yeah. Exactly. And awesome. And also, you know, anytime you have a thick accent, wherever you're from, people are going to make assumptions about you based on what they think they know from stereotypes they've seen on TV or whatever. Right, and when you can say, sort of take that away from them, so to speak, now they're going to focus exactly on what you're saying and not trying to, oh, this guy's from Boston, he must be a crab fisher, you know, just like
whatever. Right. There's
just all this associate. Stupid stuff that distracts people. So
now, so this whole concept of the front runner, of course, comes from my experience as, you know, as a track and field athlete. Mm-hmm. which is cool, because right now I'm sort of in my happy place because the world championships is going on right now. And so like every evening, I'm just locked in. Nice. I'm just locked in and just, you know, it's really been life-giving for me. But this whole concept of the front runner comes from just my experience with track and field and running the 800 meters. And so for me personally, I was considered a front runner. And so I would consider myself as a front runner because whenever I would go into a race, I love to lead out front, because that was one way that I felt like I ran my best race. I left it all on the track. But the thing about front runners in the sport of track and field is they're seen as sort of the underdogs, because they're not, you know, necessarily expected to win. You know what I mean? And so, but the thing is, again, the thing that I appreciate about front runners and the thing that I tried to sort of hone in myself is that, you know, being a front runner, you know, I take risk. I know that it's a risk to run out in front. I bet on myself. I think there's an element where, you know, we have to be able to take that leap and we have to bet on ourselves. But the thing is that I run my race. And so when I found myself in a pack, I found myself a lot of times running other people's races, but I felt like when I was out in front, that was a way where I can run my own race, and then I can run to win. So anytime I stepped on the track, I want to run to win. And the only way I knew to do that is to run out in front. And so sort of, I think that's a great analogy for life. It's like when we think about our vocation and think about things that we desire and we dream and things that we pursue, there's element of risk. There's an element where we have to bet on ourselves, where we have to kind of stay in our lane and we have to run our race, but we want to run and win. You know what I mean? We want to pursue and accomplish this thing that we're setting out to do. So when you think about your journey, would you consider yourself to be a front runner? When you think about the element of risk, think about having to bet on yourself, you think about trying to run your race and win, and even, you know, even the whole idea of like the odds may be against you in this thing that you're trying to pursue.
I do. Mm-hmm. As far as I definitely see myself in that way. Like even when other people are saying like, oh, he's a hick from Mississippi. And he, you know, all these things that say you shouldn't be a voice actor in business for yourself.
Yes, sir.
But I don't really care about them. I think that when you have, I mean, there's so much stuff in the Word of God about, I think being a front runner is such a scriptural way to be. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say you don't be calculated and, you know, wise as a serpent when you need to be, and sort of, you know what, let's economize our resources for a little bit and stay here and then be ready to strike at the end and that kind of thing. But, you know, Paul said, run that you may obtain. Like, run to, you should start the race expecting to win, or at least expecting to give your all.
Yes, sir.
You might see a guy like, I probably won't beat him, but it won't be because I didn't try my very best. I wouldn't hold him back. You know, that shouldn't be a factor, you know. And I think with, if the Lord lays a path out in front of you, I mean, I think that's worth going down, and worth going down to the best of your ability. As he gives you wisdom and things like that. And so in my case, it was definitely like that. You know, I'm in a factory, and then, you know, the Lord has proven himself not only in the Word of God and the stories in it, but also in my own life and in the lives of Christians throughout history. The Lord is a gentleman. He's a man of his word. When he gives his word, he keeps it. And when he says, you know, you trust me, I'll take care of you, he means that. It doesn't mean there won't be hard times. You know, if you're your track coach, he's not there to make you feel good. He's there to make you a better runner.
Yes,
so he's going to put you through some tough time. I saw it personally.
Yeah.
You know, I can see your coach's face right now, and I can see your face.
He wasn't being
nice to you, but what it did to you, not only were you a better runner then, I mean, fast forward 15 years, and a lot of guys your age are in a bank and about 30, 40 pounds, 50 pounds what they were. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Because they quit doing the things that they knew to do. And yet, I mean, look at you, you're still in great shape.
Yes,
you know, you're still applying those principles.
Yes, sir.
And I mean, I think that's great. You're a living example of that.
Wow.
And so, I think definitely I'm a front runner, because I think that's the only way to live. Really. If you know the Lord, I don't see that there's any other way to do things.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's good. And you think about even, you know, our coach putting us through those things. It's like they're preparing us for the race. And so you think about even, you know, as people of faith, it's like, you know, and the scripture says in this life there will be trouble. So knowing, like, we're going to go through some stuff, but it's preparing us for the race. You know what I mean? It's like, but take heart, because he has overcome the world. And so we know that he is an overcomer, and we run that we may obtain it by running and pursuing him, and knowing that he will sustain us through it, that you know, he will help us overcome, you know, the crosses we have to bear, for sure. Yeah. And that's powerful, man. So let's think about the risk it took. So you mentioned you were in the army. So that's, you know, there's some security in that. And then you worked at the factory. There's security in that. Like, you know, when you're going into work, you clock in, you get paid maybe every 2 weeks. So there's security in that. And it's like thinking about having a young family and taking care of your family. But then you kind of shift into becoming a creative and you know, an entrepreneur and a voice actor. It's like, okay, well, that's sort of an unorthodox type of career. So let's talk about, like, the risk you took going from a career where there was a sense of security to an unorthodox career of voice acting. So how did you feel when you sort of was making this transition? And how did your wife feel? Like, how was that dynamic?
Well, you know, obviously I give credit to the Lord for everything.
Yes, sir.
But the things that he used in that process were, my wife is number one. Like, she gave me permission to strike out on my own. You know what I mean? So I know guys that if they had the dream that I had,
yes, sir,
you know, or maybe a female and her husband or whatever, and they're like, no, you're going to stay in that job because we got a house to pay for and a whatever, a vacation and a boat and all this stuff.
Yes, sir.
And my wife said, good, do it.
Wow.
And I'm very thankful for that. I think you need that support.
Yes, sir.
You know, you need that support, whether, you know, a single person or what have you, you need support from somebody saying, look, you know, I don't know anything about that, but you ought to do it because you would, I could see you being good at that. You just kind of, I think we all need a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
And that's what my wife was for me and still is, but that was the initial thing. Like, no, leave the, you know, the security of this job. And I'd been talking to her about the idea of it. And she said, yeah, that, you know, that place is killing you. You know, you're not as creative and things like that. I can just see it sort of just sucking the life out of you. And wow. I appreciate you working so hard, but I would rather have you around here making less money and just kind of be less stressed out all the time.
Wow.
And so she was in my corner. And then one day I was talking to a guy at work. He was one of the maintenance guys, and he was a very rural, you know, like a redneck. Like, even I could barely understand him.
Really?
But wow. I remember his words were basically, sometimes you just have to take the plunge. Mm-hmm. They're always going to pay you enough to keep you coming back the next day. Mm-hmm. Just enough. And I was like, man, that is, I'm going to go think on that. That's some heavy wisdom right there. Mm-hmm. And I went home and I was praying about it. And then something happened at work where my boss, who had been a really good boss, who got a bad review, like a performance review, started becoming a lot more political. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, that kind of thing. And I kind of started noticing how he had, his management style changed for the worse. Sort of a lookout for himself instead of lookout for everyone on his team.
Yes, sir.
And something kind of blew up at work one day, and I told my wife, like, I think it's time to quit. And she was traveling at the time, and she said, great, put in your notice. And like, that was the scary part for me, was saying, hey, I think we should do this. So the scary part was getting her blessing, like, because I'm not going to do that without
Sure.
Getting her support and getting her, you know,
that's why, that's wisdom, bro.
right. Her analysis on it. Cause sometimes, you know, if you got a good spouse, they're going to see some things that you're not seeing, some, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got her blessing. The Lord, you know, was definitely in it the entire time. And then it was scary, but also in an exhilarating way, like riding a roller coaster, not like, scary, this is terrible, I'm gonna die, but scary, adrenaline's rushing, and isn't this wonderful? I'm motivated on a Monday morning to pop out of bed and start sending some marketing emails and get this, you know, it's up to me to look to the Lord for wisdom and guidance and prosperity. I think the Lord's got to give us our daily bread. If the Lord's not there, then we're going to be spinning our wheels. But, you know, it's done wonders for my prayer life.
Wow. Oh, you know, like, sure.
Lord, yeah. I mean, just like you mentioned, I don't have a paycheck that comes in every, of a certain amount, every, so often, every 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to have to go out and do the work and ask God to bless the effort. You know, like,
and that's the interesting thing is, like, you know, the whole being self-employed and entrepreneurship, all that things sound glamorous, but man, there's, you know, there may be some months where you don't get paid, or, you know what I mean? It's you know, some parts of it that's not as glamorous, but it's one of those things. It's like, you know, when we work at a 9-to-5, it's like, you know, we're getting paid for our time, essentially, you know what I mean? But it's like, when you're self-employed, you're working for yourself, you have something that you offer that people are. So it's like being paid for your gifts and your talents, as opposed to being paid for your time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I guess it's an element of being paid for your time as well, but it's not all glamorous. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, there's like some white knuckling and, you know, just grinding and calling, as you mentioned, and sending your stuff out and trying to get yourself out there. And
yep.
Yeah. Wow. 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 Now, how did, when you talk to your wife about, you know, this and taking this risk and her saying, go for it, like, how did that make you feel? Like,
well, it made me feel like I couldn't fail. Mm-hmm. So like, technically, even if I did fail, like, look, we're not making enough money, you know, a few months down the road. And, you know, I think I need to get back into it. I feel like she would have said, you know, I need to go back to the factory. I think she would have said, all right, we tried it. I would rather live with disappointment than regret.
Yes, sir.
You know, I would rather be, you know, 30 something and say, well, I tried it. I gave it a good year and it didn't work out for me. So I'm back, you know, trying to make some money, but that dream's not dead. I'll be back at it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then be, you know, 65, you're about to retire and you wonder, I wonder what would have happened.
Mm.
My life would be different if I would have said, you know what, I'm going to try to do this thing 30 years ago, you know, because your life may look a lot different for the better.
Yeah.
Go on and say, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And I think that goes for anyone. But if you know the Lord, sure, you got somebody that he's really something. He can do anything.
Yes,
and he tends to bless effort. When you, if you sit there and just say, Lord, I wish I could work for myself, and you never do anything, take any steps, I don't,
yes, sir,
you know, I don't know that he's going to bless that. I mean, he could if he wanted to, but, you know, I think of myself as a father. If I, if my kid says, you know, Dad, I want to be good at baseball, I want to play baseball, like, okay, great. Well, if that same kid's out there throwing the ball against the wall and catching it and like tossing the ball up himself and hitting the ball, I'm going to be more likely to buy him a pair of cleats or a new glove when I see him out there working. And
you don't have to beg him to go, you know what I mean?
So right, right.
I see a lot of, I see a lot of young people like that. Like, you know, they want to go to the NFL. They want to do this, but then, you know, you see their work ethic. You're like, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
man, it's going to take more work than that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It takes work
and
being intentional, for sure.
I was reading this morning, it said in the book of Exodus, when it says the children of Israel are at the Red Sea, and it said God told Moses, raise your hand over the water. Mm-hmm. Moses raised his hand out, put his rod out over the water. And then it said, and the Lord cause the water to turn back.
Yes, sir.
So it's like Moses was doing something, but Moses didn't do it. God did it.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, the Levites, when they crossed back into the promised land with Joshua, it said the Levites had the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And the Lord says, cross that river. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're probably thinking, well, I mean, you've divided a sea, couldn't you maybe dam up this river so we could cross it? You know, this is Jordan River. God didn't dam up that river until all their feet were in the water.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
he let those guys get wet. And when he saw their action, he blessed it. And that's when he divided the Jordan, not divided the Jordan, but I suppose he stopped the Jordan River and they crossed. I think God likes to see effort, on our part.
He does.
And he tends to bless it.
The Lord has convicted me at times. It's like, because I think that's a powerful, you know, that's a powerful word, because it's like, oftentimes we take credit for things that God is doing. You know what I mean? It's like,
right,
you know, he's doing this, you know what I mean? It's like, and it reminds me of a quote by Jackie Hill Perry. I'm not sure if you're familiar with, you know, poet,
I've heard of her,
you know, rapper, but she was talking about work, and she said, work has a way of disordering our affections and meddling with our mind. So this concept of work, it's like, you know, we're working, we're grinding. She said, you know, it has a way of disordering our affections and meddling with our mind. So much so that we begin to think we made the soil that we tilled, found the seed that we planted, created the water we used, and therefore growth we called good is to our glory. We have a tendency, and I think, you know, that's part of our sinful nature. It's like we're trying to get all the glory for things that we've accomplished, but we don't recognize God's hand in that and what he is doing. So it's acknowledging like, man, yeah, you know, I was able to accomplish this thing, but it was by the grace of God. You know what I mean? It was his Amen. Doing, you know, yep. David defeated Goliath. Yes. But it was because of the Lord. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, we cannot miss that. Like his right. hand in our lives and what he is doing. And we too often take credit for something that God is doing.
Just remember the book of Acts where it says Herod gave that speech and it said all the people, it was a great speech. He had a good voice. He had good timing. He grabbed them by the lapels, so to speak, drew in their attention. And all the people said, it is the voice of a God and not of a man. Mm. And it said, the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory.
Wow.
And that's a verse I pray over probably more because I'm a voice actor than if I were, I don't know, riding a backhoe or something. Mm-hmm. But that is an example of a guy who had a gift. He was a great speaker, a great communicator. He used his voice to bring people to, you know, this, you know, get his point across. And he didn't give God the glory. He's like, yep, I got a good voice. All right.
Man, I think for me as well, that's my prayer because, you know, as you mentioned, you know, you have people throughout saying, man, your voice is calming, your voice and kind of, you know, praising you in certain ways. And it's like, you know, even in my experience as a communicator, you know what I mean? Like, you know, speaking often and, you know, through spoken word poetry and you get, you know, some good feedback, but it's like, man, I think one of the, you know, someone said, I can't remember who it was. He was like, man, the thing that keeps him humble is that he does not fall in love with his own voice. And I think, man, there's an element of, yes, I recognize that God has given me a gift, but I don't want to fall so in love with this gift that I forget about the one who gave the gift. And I start right. praising myself in the midst of that. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, and it's all about me type of thing. But it's like, man, I try, you know, just trying to stay humble and recognize, man, like at the end of the day, I want to use my voice for good. You know, the Bible says, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's like, I want to use my voice to give life, to edify God's people and to give him glory.
Right. Amen. That's what the Lord, you know, he told Moses, who hath made man's mouth or who maketh the dumb or the seeing or the deaf or the blind? Have not I the Lord?
Yes, sir.
You know, like he gave us those things, our sight and our speech and our hearing to glorify him. And I think even in a fallen world, when you're doing that right there, mm-hmm. and that's our purpose on this earth is to praise him for what he's done.
Family, we are going to pause right here for the first part of our two-part discussion. And I look forward to part two of our discussion because we are going to get deeper. And as we get deep, listen at your own risk. You will be encouraged. You will be challenged. And you will be empowered. Follow the Front Runner Podcast and share with a friend. Also, follow me on Instagram at @TheIsaiahMarshall. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, which can be found in the show notes. And while you are at it, be sure to check out all of my released spoken word poetry projects anywhere you stream music. Thank you for supporting my creative journey. This is the Front Runner Podcast. Until next time, bless you. But I stay underdog. I take my risks. That's why I beat the odds. Beat the odds. I'm running. I'm out front running. Oh yeah. Front running. I'm out front running. I run with. That's why I run with him. Run with him. No looking back. I leave it.